WCRI's festival series highlights one of our community's greatest musical traditions, the Newport Music Festival. Since 1969, the Newport Music Festival has hosted over 2,000 concerts in Rhode Island's most prestigious venues, while presenting world-renowned and emerging classical music artists from around the globe. The Newport Music Festival has left an indelible mark on our music history here in Rhode Island, as well as around the world. Now, here's host Mike Mano, along with the festival's executive director, Pamela Pantos.
Good evening, everyone. Happy autumn. This weekend starts the fall season officially, although sometimes it seems like summer, sometimes it's like fall. Welcome to the Newport Music Festival's special series. This is episode number 35.
Wow.
And I'm Mike Mano, happy to be with Pamela Pantos, the executive director of the festival. Happy fall, Pamela.
Thank you very much. How are you today?
Good. Do you call it fall or do you call it autumn?
I prefer autumn. I think it's a prettier word.
All right. We'll go to autumn.
And I'm glad to be here this evening after our huge success last night with the Ariel Quartet at the Art Museum. So those of you who are with us, thank you so much for coming. And those of you who weren't, we'll talk a little bit later about our next upcoming concert.
Another opportunity comes up.
Absolutely. So here we are, again, as you mentioned, with autumn. And so we did last week's program on autumn music. And as I mentioned, there was so much that I thought we should do another program. So what's interesting is that sometimes the composers title their pieces with autumn, but other times the pieces just evoke autumn. So this evening we're going to start with a beautiful piece by a somewhat discarded composer, Joachim Raff. And I wonder how many of our listeners have even heard of this composer.
Did you call him discarded?
Yes, because okay. In the sense that his pieces aren't played as part of the standard repertoire.
Okay.
So we're going to learn about a little bit about him and hear how gorgeous his music is. Raff lived from 1822 to 1882, and during his lifetime, his music was compared to that of Brahms, and yet we really never hear about him. So a little bit about him. As a child, he showed great natural talent as a pianist, violinist, and organist, but he never studied at a conservatory or anything like that.
No official studies.
No, so he was self-taught. He was so good that some of his early piano pieces were sent by a friend to Mendelssohn, and Mendelssohn actually got them published. That's how good this guy was. And so he was encouraged by this success and moved to Zurich and tried to have a career as a composer, even though his family was dead against it. Poor Raff lived in poverty for most of his life. However, at one point, he heard that Liszt, the great Franz Liszt, was giving a concert. And he couldn't afford a ticket. He couldn't even afford to get to the concert. So he walked. He walked miles and miles and miles through the driving rain, and this has actually been documented, to hear Liszt play. But when he got there, the concert was sold out. However, Liszt's secretary heard this young man talking about, oh, it would be my greatest pleasure in life to hear the great Franz Liszt, and let him come in. And after that, Raff becomes Liszt's personal assistant, transcribed music, copied music for him, and as the orchestra developed, actually showed Liszt how better to work with orchestral colors. That's how talented Joachim Raff was. So just quite amazing. He intended to study with Mendelssohn, but unfortunately Mendelssohn died before he got there. He intended to have some of his music published, but the publisher died before his music. I mean, he just had a series of bad luck, absolutely. Nonetheless, he was working for Liszt, and Liszt thought that he was wonderful and gave him a lot to do, but he himself felt that he was a copyist for Liszt. And von Bülow, who, as we know, married Cosima and was a great conductor, actually said that Raff sacrificed his life to Liszt and would have been a great composer had he not been working under, you know, Liszt's aegis, you know.
Yeah,
and Liszt was a
second-in-command.
Exactly, and yeah. Liszt was a larger-than-life person. So, again, he wrote 11 symphonies and over 50 piano pieces. So, one, he wrote a cycle of four symphonies that represented the seasons, and I thought that we would listen to the one entitled Autumn. We're going to listen to the first movement, marked Eindrücke und Empfindungen, Allegro Moderato. Eindrücke und Empfindungen means sort of your impressions and your feelings. So this is all about those feelings we get in fall. And this is the Bamberg Symphony Orchestra with Hans Stadelmeier conducting the first movement of Joachim Raff's 10th Symphony.
We will listen to that, then take a short break and be back with more.
Thank you.
Welcome back to WCRI's special presentation of the Newport Music Festivals. This episode number 35. I comment on this all the time, Pamela, because we've done a lot of shows together.
We
hopefully
have
a lot more to go. We have been talking about a relatively unknown composer, and I want to pick up where we left off.
Thank you, Mike. You know, we know the names of certain composers, but there are hundreds more who wrote great music and who are truly forgotten. I bet most people could name them, you know, 20, 25, 30 composers.
Sure.
So it's very rewarding when we play music by someone who might otherwise be left by the wayside. And so I'd like to continue talking a little bit about Joachim Raff. Interestingly enough, he felt like he was in a subservient position to Liszt, which really irritated him, but he stayed on because he really needed the money. And he said at one point, "The pressure which Liszt exerts both intentionally and unintentionally on my own personality is more than I can bear." So he had drama, poverty, obscurity in the first half of his life, but he met an actress. They moved to Wiesbaden, where actually I sang at the opera house for many years. And so the final 26 of his life were calmer and marked by fame and recognition. So a complete, you know, rags to riches story. So he leaves Liszt and he starts to compose for himself. His wife was very good with money, takes all of his money and really manages it quite well. His music became highly popular at concerts and in homes. His symphonies were listened to with great respect. And his Third and Fifth Symphonies were amongst the most popular of the symphonic literature in the second half of the 19th century.
Wow.
So his works were premiered often in Wiesbaden. Sometimes he would conduct. But his fame equaled, at that period of time, Brahms and Wagner. I mean, this is absolutely incredible. So the only criticism people had of his music was maybe he did not have enough of his own style and sort of just fell into copying a little bit of the Germanic style. However, if you think that he was under the thumb of Liszt for so many years, it's, you know, you can understand why.
Right.
Nonetheless, at the end of his life, he moved to Frankfurt and he was a musical administrator and he became the head of the conservatory there. And he engaged other musicians, including Clara Schumann, as a great pianist and a teacher.
Just picked up a guy named Schumann.
Exactly. So, you know, he died when he was 60 years old of a heart attack, but nonetheless, you know, we remember his works. And he was particularly fond of his 10th symphony, as we've listened to the first movement called Autumn. And so I thought, let's just listen to his second movement that he also really loved. It's called Gespenster, Reigen. Gespenster means sort of little spirits, kind of spooky little spirits. And Reigen is a circle dance. Hmm. So as we move into Autumn and think about Danse Macabre and all and Halloween, this seems quite appropriate. It's marked allegro. And again, this is the Bamberg Symphony Orchestra with Hans Stadelmeier conducting.
Thank you.
Well, before we get distracted with more beautiful music, let's talk about the upcoming concerts you mentioned in the first segment.
Absolutely. So on October 27th, we have a wonderful concert, again at the Newport Art Museum, featuring Stephanie Chase violin and Sarah Davis Buchner. Both were artists for the 50th anniversary season. Absolutely incredible. We've played some of their performances and the music they played.
And I got to meet them.
Yes, they're absolutely amazing. So the program that they'll be playing has Mozart, Strauss, Ravel, and actually some music by Rusha, who was a composer who composed a lot of movie music. And Sarah Davis Buchner actually met the composer. So that'll be a very interesting part of the program to hear her interpretations of his music and, you know, how she worked with him. So again, that is on October 27th, Saturday, and tickets are on sale at newportmusic.org.
Excellent. All right. Well, let's pick up our story where we left off.
Okay. So, you know, when we think of fall, there's the changing of the seasons, a sense of melancholy, and perhaps, you know, about the summer left behind. And yet there's sort of this fresh crispness, and clarity to the air. So one of the pieces that embodies these kinds of sensation is Samuel Barber's Violin Concerto. And there are many stories surround the creation of this piece. So this whole program is kind of about stories today.
Okay.
In fact, when I was doing my research, I had always heard one version of how this piece came to be, and I discovered four different sources that all claim to be authentic. So here's one of the descriptions of how this piece was conceived. In May of 1939, Philadelphia industrialist and philanthropist Samuel Fells, who made his fortune through soap, somebody might remember the Fells naphtha soap. He asked Samuel Barber to compose a piece for violin and orchestra for his ward, Iso Bruselli, who was a violinist. So Barber said he'd take $500 up front, $500 when he completed the piece. So he gave Bruselli the first two movements, and the little, you know, young violinist was very pleased. But it seemed that when he presented him with the third movement, rumor has it wasn't substantial enough. So again,
the degree of difficulty.
Exactly.
Okay.
Exactly. It wasn't fancy enough and didn't show off his playing. So he rewrote it. And then it seems, again, we're not sure of the truth, but it seemed that Bruselli couldn't play the piece and that Barbara brought to Mr. Fells a violinist who could play the piece and prove to him that it was not unplayable, as the young man had said, but simply the young man wasn't up to it. And it turns out that Albert Spaulding premiered the piece with Eugene Ormandy in the Philadelphia Orchestra. So a little story about this fall piece. Again, a little mystery. We're not quite sure what happened there. So let's listen to the second movement of the Barber Violin Concerto, marked Andante. And again, this movement is particularly melancholy, like the fall. This is Gil Shaham with André Previn conducting the London Symphony Orchestra.
We will listen to that, take a short break, and be back with more.
Thank you.
Welcome back. I'm Mike Mano, sitting with Pamela Pantos on this lovely first day of fall. First day of autumn evening. And talking about music that puts us in the mood for this time of year.
Absolutely. So along with the melancholy of fall, there is, of course, the rejoicing of a bountiful harvest. And one piece that truly embraces the joyful and more thoughtful elements of the season is Gustav Holst's St. Paul Suite. And Holst lived from 1874 to 1934. What's interesting about Holst is he spent a good portion of his musical life dealing with students and other non-professional musicians. In 1903, he succeeded his good friend Ralph von Williams, as the director of the school orchestra at James Allen's Girls' School in London. So here we have Ralph von Williams, as you know, one of my favorite composers, and then Gustav Holst, you know, working with these young instrumentalists. 2 years later, he became musical director at the St. Paul Girls' School, a post that he kept for the rest of his life. And along with his teaching, he continued to compose, thank goodness. And he also began to really explore English and Scottish folk songs and bring those folk tunes into his music. So he created the St. Paul Suite for this amateur orchestra, string orchestra, and he wrote it in 1912 to 1913 for his students. And there are four movements: jig, ostinato, intermezzo, finale, which is the Dargason, which is a folk melody. And again, here we have, you know, Ralph von Williams, Gustav Holst, and we've talked about Vivaldi, how so much of his compositions came from his teaching of girls' orchestras. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it makes you sort of reminiscent of a time when you had these orchestras. And I hope that one of the things that, you know, the Newport Music Festival, with all of our education and outreach, we're doing the children's radio show here on Saturday mornings, and our continued education and outreach will hopefully revive some of those things so that children have the opportunity not only to hear great music and understand it, but also play themselves. And so I just want to say how thankful we are to be partnering with WCRI.
Absolutely.
On bringing this to, you know, the children in our community.
I know our audience loves the partnership, and we want it to continue a long time. We'll listen to those four pieces, and then we'll see you again in a couple weeks, Pamela.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you for listening to WCRI's Festival Series featuring the Newport Music Festival. For more information on the festival, special seasonal concerts, to purchase tickets, or to donate, call 849-0700 or visit newportmusic.org.